From the mouth of Brahma, the Brahminical order has come into existence. Similarly, from his arms the Kshatriyas have come. From his waist the Vaishyas have come. And from his legs the Shudras have come. These four orders and their spiritual counterparts, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, combine to make human society complete. Ya esham purusam sakshad atma prabhavam ishwaram na bhajanti avajananti stanad brashta patantiyada. If one simply maintains an official position in the four varnas and ashramas, but does not worship the Supreme Lord Vishnu, he falls down from his puffed up position into a hellish condition. Once Srila Prabhupada and the devotees were invited by one life member to take prasad at his house in Bombay. He was a very nice man, a very pious man, and the whole family was pious and nice. So the man and the family served prasad to Prabhupada and the devotees, and after the devotees had finished, they took prasad. And while they were taking prasad, a few devotees gathered around Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada was talking. Then he sort of glanced over towards the man and his family at the table taking prasad and said that even if one executes his duties as a householder very perfectly, but if he's not Krishna conscious, he will go to hell. I thought that Srila Prabhupada is speaking strong words. But later I came across the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, and I found that what Srila Prabhupada had said was exactly the same as what is found in the Bhagavatam. That even if you execute your duties in Varnashram very perfectly, but if you're not Krishna conscious, or if you don't worship the Supreme Lord Krishna, you will fall down and go to hell. How is it possible? The clue comes in the first verse, that all members of society, in all social orders and all spiritual orders, come from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, they all have some relationship with Him. He is their source, or He is their Father, or our Father. And therefore, we all have some relationship with Him. Now, in the second verse, na bhajanti means if one does not worship the Lord. And avajananti means if one neglects the Lord, or if one disrespects the Lord. So here there are actually two cases. In one case, the person is not aware of the Lord, and therefore he does not worship Him. In the second case, the person is aware of the Lord, but he deliberately does not worship Him. But even in the case of the person who's not aware of the Lord, there's some fault, because he comes from the Lord. So he should inquire about the Lord. Just like a child should know who his father is. And if he doesn't know, he should inquire who his father is. It is natural. And if he doesn't inquire, there's something wrong. And if he knows who his father is and he doesn't serve his father, there's something wrong also. So in both cases, there is some offense against the Lord. And because of the offense against the Lord, even though the person is following the rules and regulations of Varnashram, the person will fall down from Varnashram. And Varnashram is the basic principle to regulate the human society. If people do not follow Varnashram Dharma, they are unregulated, like animals. So when they're unregulated like animals, they engage in sinful activities. And when they engage in sinful activities, they go to hell. So here there are two stages. Stanad Brashta. They fall down from their position in Varnashram. And when they fall down from their position in Varnashram, they gradually engage in sinful activities. And Patanti Adda, they go to hell. Actually, we have experience of devotees, even in ISKCON, who want to become good householders, good grihasthas or good vaishyas or something. And they start with the intention of following the regulative principles. They start with the intention of contributing to the temple as prescribed in the scriptures. But gradually, they drift from the association of devotees. They fall down from their positions as good grihasthas or good vaishyas. They gradually break the regulative principles and go to hell. So therefore, one must maintain Krishna consciousness at all costs. One can be a good grihastha or a good vaishya or anything if he's Krishna conscious. But if he neglects Krishna consciousness, even if he's trying to be a good grihastha or a good vaishya, he will fall down and eventually go to hell. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that the basis of the original offense against the Lord, which is not to worship the Lord or not to serve the Lord, comes from not properly respecting or worshiping the bona fide spiritual master. He says that if one properly honors and worships the bona fide spiritual master, then naturally he will honor and worship the Lord. But if he neglects the bona fide spiritual master, he will gradually become offensive to the Lord also, and then he'll fall down. Yes?
How does what you're saying go along with Arjuna's question in Bhagavad Gita about the unsuccessful yogi? And there's also this promise that even little advancement on this path can protect against the greatest danger. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes. But if you think that because you've engaged in devotional service, you can do any nonsense and not go to hell, you're committing an offense, committing sin on the strength of chanting, or committing sin on the strength of rendering devotional service. So if one deliberately engages in sinful activities, thinking that he'll be freed from hellish punishment because he had engaged in devotional service earlier, he's involved in the offense, committing sin on the strength of chanting. And when one commits sin on the strength of chanting, not only does he have to suffer the result of the sin, but he also has to suffer the result of the offense. So one cannot, you know, intentionally commit sin and think that he'll be saved from the reaction because he did some service or did some chanting.
Okay.
Well, being separated from God is certainly hellish. But there are also physical hellish conditions, hellish species of life, hellish planets, where one goes if one engages in sinful activities. I would not say so. The question is, was he indicating that the life member was not Krishna conscious and would go to hell? So I said I wouldn't say so. Yeah. True. He's Krishna conscious, partially. Yes.
So why does Krishna ask Arjuna to say both of you that you might both never perish?
Why does he ask Arjuna to say it, or why the statement?
I mean, if both can fall down and go to hell, then...
No. The verse is not about devotees. The verse is about non-devotees who follow Varnashram Dharma. True. Temporarily. Going to hell is temporary. Going to heaven is temporary. Everything is temporary in the material world. Of course, he should come back. We hope that Krishna will bring him back. But for the time being, he is engaging in sinful activities and he has to suffer. Srila Prabhupada has stated in several places that if the devotee neglects his duties for devotional service, but is not serious about devotional service and falls down, he may have to suffer the reactions for his neglect or his duties, but to speak of his engagement in sinful activity. But he'll still get the chance to engage in devotional service, in spite of the fact that he takes birth in a hellish condition.
What is better, to approach Krishna with an offensive mentality or not to approach Krishna at all?
Are those the only two choices?
No, but if a person is like that,
it's better to approach Krishna. Even if one is offensive, it's better to approach Krishna. Because one may give up his offensive mentality. And if he doesn't give up his offensive mentality, he'll go away anyway. So he'll be in the same position as if he never approached Krishna. But one time, one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada about getting free from offenses, how to become free from the reaction to offenses. And Srila Prabhupada replied, "You're asking the question because you want to commit offenses." Okay, now we'll go to the next section, the next discussion. Eligibility of the candidate for devotional service. Page 23, the bottom of the left column. Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita says that when some person, by extreme good fortune, develops faith in devotional service, and is not too attached or too detached, he is eligible to enter devotional service. That is verse 1 to 14. And then he quotes this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam as evidence. This is 1 to 15. Yadrichaya mat katado jata shradhas tuya puman na nirvino nati sakto bhakti yogasya siddhida. Somehow or other, if one is attracted to talks about Krishna and has faith in the instructions of Krishna, and if he is actually detached from material things, means not falsely detached and not attached, his dormant love for Krishna will be awakened by devotional service. Now, the first word is yadrichaya, somehow or other. Or in the synonyms, Srila Prabhupada translates it, by some good fortune. Now, if we say that one becomes eligible for devotional service by some good fortune, we have to inquire what is the cause of the good fortune. Generally, the cause of good fortune is supposed to be the performance of pious activities. But here, the explanation of good fortune cannot be pious activities, because pious activities in the system of karma or jnana cannot bring one to devotional service, because devotional service or bhakti is independent of karma or anything else. Here, good fortune means really to get the association of a pure devotee and render service to a pure devotee. Even if he does not have faith in devotional service, he does not know that he is dealing with a pure devotee. But somehow or other, he gets the association of a pure devotee and serves the devotee. Like when Srila Prabhupada first went to the West, some fortunate persons served him. They did not know that he is a pure devotee. They did not think that they are rendering devotional service. Yet they served him. Like Sally Agarwal in Butler, Pennsylvania. She didn't know what is pure devotee, what is devotional service. But she thought that Prabhupada is a friend of her father-in-law. And he's like her father also. And she served him as a friend or as a guest or as a stranger. But she got so much benefit. So this is known as agyata sukriti, or pious activity performed without knowledge. And here, pious activity specifically means service to a pure devotee. Service to a pure devotee. That brings one good fortune, not material pious activities. But yadrichaya also has another meaning. Rupa Goswami says, by good fortune in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Lord Chaitanya also says, by good fortune, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. That after wandering through so many species of life, in so many universes or planetary systems, one who is fortunate receives the seed of devotional service by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So that is bhaga, good fortune. Now, yadrichaya specifically means independent or by one's own sweet will. In the fifth chapter of the first canto, there's one nice verse about Narada Muni, where the same word comes, almost the same word comes. And Srila Prabhupada explains, the verse says that Narada Muni travels everywhere throughout the universe, yadrichaya, by his own sweet will, independently. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that the devotee is independent. He can travel anywhere he likes, or not travel anywhere he doesn't like. Then he says that the process of devotional service is also independent. One may attain devotional service or not. And the association of devotees is also independent. One may try for it for a long time with great efforts, and he may not get it, or he may get it. So, the meaning of yadrichaya is by one's own sweet will. Now, someone may say that the cause of bhakti, the cause of the appearance of bhakti, or the cause of the person getting bhakti, is the mercy of the Lord. If we say that the cause is the mercy of the Lord, we have to consider what is the reason that the Lord has bestowed mercy. Does he bestow it equally on everyone? And we see no, because some people get bhakti and others don't. So, how can the Lord give bhakti or give mercy to one and not another? Because he is the Supreme Father of all. He has to be equal to everyone. So we cannot say that the cause of bhakti is the mercy of Krishna, because then he would be guilty of partiality, which he cannot be. Someone could say that the cause is the mercy of the devotee. And here again the objection could be raised that the devotee is partial. He gives bhakti to some and not to others. But if we see the characteristics of the Madhyama Bhakta, we see that he does make distinctions. He does discriminate. Prema Maitri Kripa Peksha Sakaroti Samadhyama. He gives his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He makes friendship with devotees. He shows mercy or gives mercy to innocent persons, and he neglects the envious persons. So he does make distinctions. He does discriminate where to give mercy and where not to give mercy. And it is not a fault in him. Now, what about the Uttama Adhikari? Will he give mercy to some and not to others? What will be his position? Yes?
Yudhimathara is eager to get mercy from everyone.
Sorry?
Yudhimathara, he sees everyone as regulating souls, always wanting to get mercy from everyone.
Yes, this is the answer. The Uttama Adhikari sees that everyone is already devotee. He sees that everyone already has bhakti, so he sees no need to give bhakti. If the Uttama Adhikari wants to give mercy, he has to come to the platform of Madhyama Adhikari. But as long as he's acting on the platform of Uttama Adhikari, he doesn't give mercy because he thinks that everyone is already engaged better than him. So what does he have to do? I'll give one example in one discussion with Srila Prabhupada. In Indore, in Madhya Pradesh, Srila Prabhupada was criticizing certain popular religious figures of India. And some of the Indians in the audience started to squeal because some of their favorite gurus were being attacked. So then he started to accuse Srila Prabhupada that you should see everyone equally. You should not criticize others. And he quoted the verse, Pandita Samadarshana, Vidya Vinay Sampani Bravi Gavi Hastini, that a learned person will see everyone equally. He will see a gentle and learned Brahmin, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, all equally. And he will not criticize anyone. Srila Prabhupada replied, that is a very advanced stage, but I am not on that platform. Why is someone born as a Brahmin? And why is someone born as a dog? Actually, we discussed it two or three lessons ago. Who can answer? By his sinful activities, one gets a lower birth. So someone who performs pious activities, he may get birth as a Brahmin. And someone who engages in sinful activities may get birth as a dog eater or as a dog. So not to make any distinction between a Brahmin and a dog eater means not to make any distinction between pious activity and sinful activity. So Srila Prabhupada said, I am not on that platform. I make distinctions. I see that you are doing nonsense and I say that you should stop it. So that verse, in other words, that verse, Pandita Samadarshana, refers to the Uttama Adhikari. And here Srila Prabhupada was saying, I'm not acting on the platform of Uttama Adhikari, I'm acting on the platform of Madhyama Adhikari. I'm distinguishing between pious activities and sinful activities. And if you're doing something wrong, I'm chastising you.
How does the Uttama Adhikari make the transition when he decides to come down to the Madhyama Adhikari platform? Initially, he's seen everyone equally. So how does he get to that
stage? Well, he's surrendered to the will of Krishna. So if the will of Krishna is that he should preach, then he surrendered to the will of Krishna. And by the influence of yoga maya, he loses the... He's Uttama Adhikari, but he doesn't think he's Uttama Adhikari or have the same vision as Uttama Adhikari. Just like, of course, this is a little different, but Krishna also comes under the influence of Yoga Maya. And when Mother Yasoda picks up the stick to chastise him, he becomes afraid. He begins to tremble. Tears come out of his eyes. He wants to run away. He's not pretending. He's actually feeling afraid by the influence of Yoga Maya. And generally, in Vrindavan, under the influence of Yoga Maya, he forgets that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But sometimes, when there's some threat to his devotees, like when Indra sent torrents of rain to flood Vrindavan, Yoga Maya allowed him to remember that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that he could give protection to his devotees and lift Govardhan Hill. And then when the crisis was over, again Yoga Maya came. And again Krishna thought, I'm the son of Nanda Maharaj. And everyone else thought that he's the son of Nanda Maharaj. So Yoga Maya works like that. She will cover a person's actual position or a person's actual glories for some purpose. And she will uncover the same thing for some purpose also, in accordance with the will of Krishna. She knows the will of Krishna and she serves it. We will come to that. In fact, the next verses deal with the same thing, Uttama, Madhyam, and Kanista. But there's a little difference. There's a difference. Okay, but let us discuss it when we come to that. Because first we have to understand the basic principle of eligibility. And then we can understand first class eligible, second class eligible, and third class eligible.
Is there a difference between how the devotee gives his mercy from when it's a Madhyam Bhakti coming down from the Uttama platform, or if it's a Madhyam Bhakti ascending from the Kanishka platform? Will the one who's descending from the Uttama platform, will he make distinction to such a degree that he will also like be partial?
Yes. When he's preaching, he has to discriminate between devotees and innocent persons and envious persons. But certainly the Uttama Adhikari, who's acting on the Madhyam platform, has some more potency than the Madhyam Adhikari, who's acting on the Madhyam platform. He can give mercy to persons who really aren't qualified to receive mercy. As he gave the example of Narada. But it's a special case. But generally, he acts like a Madhyam Adhikari, and he makes distinctions. And especially acting as the Acharya, he has to set the example for the others who preach.
Bhakti arise from Bhakti. Why we say that there is two main reasons that it's so difficult to attain Bhava Bhakti? We say the second main reason is because Krishna doesn't give it so easily. So Krishna is giving that Bhava Bhakti. And the other side we say that Bhakti arise from Bhakti. So how does this?
No, bhakti comes from bhakti. Bhava bhakti comes from sadhana bhakti. But you have to do sadhana bhakti with some intensity to get bhava bhakti. If you do sadhana bhakti with some slackness, then you won't be able to get bhava bhakti very easily. And yes.
Could you explain that the position of Nityananda Prabhu was in the verse involved in the gentle way of reference in the way of distinction?
He says Nityananda Prabhu gave mercy to all. That is very hopeful for us. We should go to Nityananda Prabhu at once and get his mercy. That is also one answer. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says that from the point of view of eternal time, the period that some conditioned soul is in the material world is just one moment, or less than one moment. So he doesn't consider the one moment to have any significance. He sees that the person is eternally engaged in devotional service. That's one answer. But the other answer is that he sees that everything is Krishna's energy. And his vision is so broad that he doesn't make any distinction between Krishna and Krishna's energy. And everyone is serving Krishna's energy. That is a fact. And therefore everyone is serving Krishna.
Okay. I can't understand that because on one hand is Uttamani Pari. He has perfect knowledge of the scriptures, perfect explanation, understanding of what's right and wrong. Even though he may see that, understand that Krishna has separated energies. So how can the broad-minded vision go so far to see somebody perform in this activity, to see that God is separate? Perfect vision to differentiate between the different dimensions, experience, etc. So how he doesn't differentiate, because that's that means
that
they have perfect knowledge.
He has perfect knowledge. And he sees, like it is said, Atmavan Manyate Jagat, that as you think others also think. So the Uttama Adhikari is always in the mood of separation from Krishna. And he feels that I'm suffering due to separation from Krishna. And he sees that everyone else is also suffering due to separation from Krishna. The drunkard is also suffering due to separation from Krishna. Everyone is suffering due to separation from Krishna. So he sees everyone like himself suffering in separation from Krishna. Although we distinguish his separation from the separation of a soul who has forgotten Krishna. He's in the mood of separation, but he hasn't forgotten Krishna. He's always thinking of Krishna in the mood of separation. But the souls who have forgotten Krishna are also separated from Krishna, and they're also suffering because they're separated from Krishna. So in one sense, we cannot say that the vision of the Mahabhagavata is illusion. The vision of the Mahabhagavata is correct, because everyone is suffering in separation from Krishna. But see, there's some difference between these three divisions of Adhikar and three divisions of devotees. And that's one reason why there's some confusion, although there's also some relationship. But here, Rupa Goswami is discussing eligibility for Uttama Bhakti. And in the verses in the Bhagavatam, different categories of devotees are being described, although generally we combine the two. But certainly someone is, the Uttama Adhikari has all the qualifications, but if he sees that, if he sees that everyone is serving Krishna, it doesn't mean that he's not seeing according to the scripture. He's also seeing according to the scripture, but in a higher way. He's seeing that everyone is suffering in separation from Krishna. They're devotees, and they're suffering in separation from Krishna.
But if at the same time he has his perfect knowledge, so then he'll have some idea of disposition in relationship to others. So then how does he see himself as being lower than others? Is that the covering of yoga mind?
He's in the mood of separation. In the mood of separation, one feels oneself to be completely unqualified. He thinks that the reason he's in separation is because he's not qualified to serve Krishna. It's humility. It's the extreme of humility. If you think that his real position is that he's superior to others, and therefore, since he should know everything as it is, he should think that he's superior to others, then where's the humility?
Well, there's situations, for instance, where Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, Maharaj, he cited, there was a passage where he cited that in the story he appreciated his position. But he gave example that somebody in such a position acts in a particular kind of way, decorum.
He did so for the sake of preaching. But when he's absorbed in his own devotional service, he doesn't think so. It's not that the Uttama Adhikari has to be engaged. If he wants to preach, that he has to be engaged in the mood of preaching day and night like Srila Prabhupada was. He may be absorbed in his own mood of devotional service for most of the time. And only on special occasions he may come and distinguish between people and preach to them. Okay, I think we'll take one more question then. As usual, the ones who want to stay on can discuss, and otherwise we can continue tomorrow. Okay, two more.
Yeah. It seems that this verse we are speaking about today from Prabhupada, the way Prabhupada paraphrases it in the Nectar of Devotion is somewhat different from the translation in the Bhagavatam, because Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion, the book, that even if not is completely attached or detached from materialistic activities, says devotion, but is attracted to Krishna, says devotional service is quickly effective.
Even if he is
not completely detached.
Not completely detached.
But here it says that, and if one is actually attached, but he takes from the two.
We'll discuss it tomorrow. We've only started to discuss one word, Yadrichaya. Tomorrow we'll discuss na nirvina, which means not falsely detached, and nati sakto, not too attached. He shouldn't be too attached or too detached. He can have some attachment, but we'll discuss it tomorrow.
How do we see bhakti? We see bhakti as two different types of bhakti.
No.
We see bhakti, one bhakti that is reaching for perfection as we endeavor.
One bhakti becoming more fully manifest. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of the unripe mango and the ripe mango. That when the devotee is in the beginning stage, he's like the unripe mango. And when he's in the advanced stage, he's like the ripe mango. Mango is mango, but one stage is more unripe or immature, and the other is more ripe and matured.
Sunrise again, the same question that I asked before. If it's only one bhakti that is rising from bhakti, and then on the other side we have Krishna giving the...
It's like a sort of contradiction. Bhakti is composed of some vit shakti and ladini shakti. So when we begin sadhana bhakti, we have both. But a very small amount of both. But when we come to the stage of Bhava Bhakti and get the mercy of Krishna or the Vaishnava, then from the heart of Krishna or some associate of Krishna, bhakti means Bhava Bhakti comes into our heart from them. Do you understand? It's like we are trying to fry samosa, but we only have 2 drops of ghee. It's ghee, no doubt, but we only have 2 drops. And we're not able to cook the samosa very well. But some Vaishnav sees that we're sincerely trying to cook the samosas. And he takes compassion on us. And he pours so much ghee in the pan. And then we can make very nice samosas to offer to Krishna. So the ghee is the same, but in the beginning stages we don't have so much bhakti. We can't do so much with it. But when Krishna gives mercy or some Vaishnav gives mercy in that sense, because even to begin we need mercy, but to come to the higher stage, we also need more mercy. Then they give us bhakti from their stock. So still, bhakti comes from bhakti. Srila Prabhupada ki Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari.